Welcome to the media ministry of Daniel Mattiola Ministries. The message you are about to listen to was preached by Pastor Daniel himself. Please relax, listen, and enjoy the Word of God, and let it bring light into your life. God bless you.
Wave it. The Father is happy to see you wave your Bible. The devil is mad to see you have that book. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it's infallible, incorruptible word of the living God. I believe I am whom he says I am. And I can do what he says I can do. I open up my heart this day to receive from God's holy word. And I declare that it will profit and prosper my life. Faith comes and increases in me as a result of God's holy word. Amen. Now, while you're still standing for a moment longer, I want you to please open your Bibles to Job chapter 22. Job chapter 22. And I also want to take this opportunity to welcome you watching us over the internet. And for those of you who are watching behind your TV screens, you are absolutely welcome. We rejoice with you. We thank God that you're part of us today. And we pray that the same anointing that is in the house will meet with you and minister to you wherever you're watching from. And you'll be tremendously blessed as a result of the word. Amen. And grab your Bibles too. Grab your Bibles too and get ready. Praise the name of the Lord. Are you in Job chapter 22? If you're in Job 22, say amen. If you're not, say wait for me. We're going to read verses 28 and 29 together. Verses 28 and 29. Are you ready? Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, let's go to 27. Let's do 27 to 29 so it makes it richer. 3, 2, 1, go. You will make your prayers to him. He will hear you. And you will pay your vows. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. When they cast you down and you say, exaltation will come, then he will save the humble. When they cast you down. The King James Version of verse 28 says, and you will decree a thing and it shall be established. And then when you get to verse 29, it says, when you have been cast down, you would say there is a lifting. When you're down, you will say there is a lifting. When you're down, you will be saying there is a lifting. I remember one statement that many times what we consider a setback is not a setback, but a step back for a comeback. That when you're down, you would say there is a lifting. Let's look at one more. We're going to read one more and then you may be seated. Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. This is a prophetic word from the Lord to his people in preparing his people for war. And there's a profound statement that was made in this verse that I want to show you, and I want to use it as our opening text before we pray and get into the word itself. Are you ready? Joel chapter 3, we're going to read verse 9 and 10. Joel chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. 3, 2, 1, go. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. You can already see from those instructions that the people that God is talking to here were not really prepared for war. Because if they're having to turn their plowshares into swords, and they're having to turn their pruning hooks into spears, it means they were just being called out to war. But very important, this statement says, let the weak say, I am strong. Remember the first one we looked at in Job? He said, when you're cast down, declare that there is a lifting. This one says, let the weak say, I am strong. Now, you would wonder, is God encouraging them to lie? Because for you to say anything, you must first acknowledge that you fall to the category of the weak. So now the person who knows that they're weak is being asked to say, I am strong. What does God mean by asking them to do this? Last week, we started to look at the whole concept of how Satan has succeeded in causing us to shy away from the teachings of God's word concerning the power of our confession. This week, we're taking it one step further. I believe the word the Lord has given me will give you revelations that will help you maximize this concept in your life. Let us pray. Our Father and our King, we just thank you. Today is another opportunity, Lord, to get into your word, and we are excited. Your word is life. Your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even into the dividing of bone and marrow. Lord, your word is a discerner of the intent of the heart of man. Your word brings light and understanding to the simple. Your word is as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, we ask, O God, breathe upon your word today. Lord, anoint me to deliver your word in a way that will bless your sons and your daughters that are listening. And I pray, O God, a special grace upon every hearer, for ears to hear, hearts to understand, and the grace to act upon your word. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. And everybody said amen in agreement. Amen. Please, you may be seated. The title of my message today is simply, Be the Prophet of Your Own Life. Be the Prophet of Your Own Life. Somebody say, I will be the prophet of my own life. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I want you to just pay attention for a moment as I share this with you. For the benefit of those who might have missed church in the last 2-3 weeks that we started this whole series of Kingdom Talk, let me just share with you very quickly in nugget form the major truths and revelations that we've come to receive from God's Word. Number one, every word that has been spoken directly by the mouth of God or indirectly through his anointed prophet, has an assignment to accomplish. How many people are in agreement with that? Amen. Any word from God or through his prophet has an assignment to accomplish. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 10 and 11 says, this word that goes forth out of my mouth shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish to that to which it was sent. So God is saying, when I say something, it has an assignment that it has to accomplish. Number two, God's word cannot be invalidated until it has completed its assignment. Anything God has said, you can't stop it, you can't make it invalidated, you can't say, well, this is no longer relevant, until it has accomplished its assignment. As long as that word is still working, you can't kill it. You can't stop it. Number three, God is a king, and his words are decrees that are backed by all the power and authority of the kingdom of heaven. God is a king, and his words are decrees, they're edicts. Anything he says is signed into law immediately. You can't debate it. You can't argue it. You can't vote against it. Anybody in agreement here? Yeah. You can't vote against it. You can choose to disregard it. You can choose to disobey it, but you can't nullify that word because it's the word of a king. Number four, anyone that understands the true purpose for which a word was released and believes in the power it carries can continue to enjoy the benefit of that word. What does that mean? If you find any word that is documented, logos, that God has spoken, and you understand what that word was supposed to accomplish, and you believe in the power behind that word, you can enjoy the benefit of the word. Good example. How many people are saved in the house today? How do you know you're saved? Because you have made some certain statements. You believed when you read Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus died on the cross to save your soul, you'll be saved. Now, you've confessed your sins, confessed Jesus as Lord, and you believe you're saved. In other words, you've come into contact with a word that had been released and documented, the word of God. You believe that word, and you believe the power behind that word to the extent that you actually are convinced that you are saved by doing what that word says. Number five, as a child of God, you are a king and can also make decrees provided your words are in agreement with the words of the King of Kings. Revelation chapter 1 helps us to know that we are kings. John the Revelator said, "For Jesus has made us kings and priests unto our God." So your words can also be powerful and can be decrees and edicts, provided they are in agreement with the words of the King of Kings. How many people know who the King of Kings is? Our daddy. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you say anything that is contrary to his words, it has no power. But if what you say is in line with his word, it is as powerful as him saying it. It becomes a decree. Praise the name of the Lord. Because he has given us the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. So we can stand as representative and declare and decree things, and it shall be established. Just to remind you, Matthew chapter 16 from verses 18 and 19, after Peter gave Jesus the revelation that thou art the Son of God, thou art the Christ, first of all, and the Son of God, then Jesus turned around and said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal to you," and then he said something. He said, "I've given you the keys to the kingdom. And whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." In other words, Jesus was helping them understand that, guys, now listen to me clearly. Based on you having a revelation that I am the Christ, the all-powerful one, based on you having a revelation that I am the Son of God, the King, the Son of the King of Kings, now you have an ability to decree things. And whatever you decree here on earth, heaven will back you up. Because that's what Jesus meant when he told the guys, whatever you disallow on earth will be disallowed in heaven, and whatever you allow on earth will be allowed in heaven. What he's really saying is, as long as you're in agreement with heaven, you can make decrees here on the earth. If you look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, that sheds a lot more light on it. It says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then goes on in the next verse, verse 19, it says, and if two of you should agree as to touching anything, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. And then he brings in that whole perspective of, if you are in agreement with heaven, with the word of God, with God's predeterminate counsel, you would have authority here on the earth to be able to make statements and their decrees. Remember, we learned during the week of our conference that our power as a Christian is limited to our revelation as a Christian. Because Peter believed the words that Jesus said, it wasn't hard for Peter in Acts chapter 3 to walk to the gate beautiful on his way into the temple, see a lame man, and look at the lame man and say, "Look at us. Silver and gold I don't have to give to you, but such as I have, I give to you. Rise up and work." What was Peter saying? Peter was saying, "I know I have the power and the authority to make a miracle happen. And so if I command you to rise up and work, it doesn't matter whether you're lame. It doesn't matter whether there's no muscle in your legs. It doesn't matter whether the bones are not well formed. It doesn't matter whether cartilage is not well formed. When I say it, everything has to line up." And then I gave you a warning last week. I said the warning here is that whatever you decree, whether positive or negative, will come to pass if it's based on the word of the king. And so you have to be careful not to damn yourself with your own mouth. You see, one of the reasons why Satan is so particular about creating a gray area when it comes to this issue of the power of confession is because he doesn't really want us to understand when we have power to make our situation better, or when we're ignorantly hurting ourselves. Many Christians are the cause of most of the pain and challenges they're going through themselves. Many Christians have called all manners of negative things into their own lives and into the lives of members of their family. Please understand. This whole concept of making fun of the power of confession and how you will see some Christians in a self-righteous but religious manner say, "Oh, is that one of the name it and claim it people? Name it and claim it people." And they make name it and claim it seem like it's some horrible thing that Satan introduced. Oh, no, Satan didn't introduce it. God did. Go read your Bible. From the first man, Adam, that he created, the Bible said he brought all the animals before Adam and he said, "Name them. And whatever name you give them, that's the name they would be." And Adam went around and said, "You are lion, you are tiger, you are elephant." Who named all the animals? Man. He gave Adam power to make decrees. And whatever Adam called it, that was what it was. Adam said, you're going to be snake. You're going to be crocodile. And you're going to be this. You're going to be that. That was naming things. Who said Adam name? God. You've got to understand, the devil does not attack a concept unless he knows that concept can really destroy his kingdom. So whenever they tell you something is a gray area in the word, get in the word and find out the truth about it. Don't believe what people say. You go into the Bible yourself and say, "Holy Spirit, teach me. I've got to understand this." For example, if you look at Proverbs chapter 18, verses 19 to 21, the Bible makes it very clear that death and life is in the power of the tongue. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. He said a man will eat from the fruits of his lips. In other words, this mouth can bring blessings to you, or this mouth can introduce curses. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. That's what the wise man Solomon said. Let's look at the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 12. I'm just trying to lay a foundation for my message today. Matthew chapter 12. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12 and start reading from verse 35. Matthew chapter 12. We're learning about the dangers of the words we speak over ourselves and over other people. Let's look at the way Jesus put it. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 to 37. How do I know it's Jesus? Because it's in red. Praise the name of the Lord. Are you there? The Bible says the words of Jesus now, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures bring forth evil things. The heart is treasure. It's a treasure chest. What comes out of your mouth is an exposure of what is in your heart. People tell me, oh, Pastor, I have faith. I have faith. I listen to your words and I know you ain't got no faith. Because what comes out of your mouth exposes what's in your heart. Verse 36. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Oh my goodness. So this thing is as serious as Jesus is helping people to know. He's telling his disciples, guys, be careful. If you don't know what to say, shut that thing of yours. Because every idle word, how many people know Jesus can't lie? If Jesus said it, you better believe it. That one day you're going to stand in the day of judgment, and one of the criteria for judgment is the words you have spoken. My God, that's serious. That's very serious stuff there. Because sometimes when I think of the things I've said, I just want to fall on my knees and just, Lord, please, just wipe it out of the slate, wipe it out of the record, just take it off. I didn't say it, Lord. But it's one thing when you didn't know. It's another thing now that the revelation is coming to you. Now you become accountable. Then in verse 37, Jesus said, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Does that sound similar to what Solomon said, that death and life is the power of the tongue? He didn't say by the words of other people. He said your own words can put you in trouble, or your own words can get you out of trouble. I found a statement online somewhere yesterday, and I thought it was nice, so I thought I would share it with you. And it goes like this. It's almost kind of like a poem or a rhyme or something like that. I don't know. A careless word can kindle strife. A cruel word may wreck a life. A timely word may level stress. A loving word may heal and bless. I'll do it again. A careless word may kindle strife. A cruel word may wreck a life. A timely word may level stress. A loving word may heal and bless. What can a prophetic word do? Just think about that for a moment. Because I told you, I said the title of my message is that, be the prophet of your own life. Praise the name of the Lord. Just hold that thought there for a while. Because in Joel chapter 3 verse 10, God was giving his people an advice. And he said, when you gather all the men together and all their farming equipment, now they need to reshape those farming equipment and make them into equipment of war. That already gives you the idea that these people are probably not in the place where they were ready for war. Because what they had been doing was farming, just having a nice time, but it was time for war. And then God said, let the weak say, I am strong. There is this issue that sometimes Christians will ask questions about because they're trying to find clarity. It's the issue of positive confession versus lying. When you say certain things, for example, you feel weak. Because for anybody who is going to say, according to Joel 3:10, first of all, if you're going to say I am strong, according to God's instruction, you must be somebody that acknowledges that you feel weak. It says, let the weak say I am strong. So if a person is feeling weak and then open their mouth and say I am strong, are they lying? Because I've met many Christians who, in trying to convince people about the symptoms they feel, they then go ahead and qualify the symptoms very well with their own mouth. I have this sickness, and then they start calling the names that doctors gave them. Who told you you have that? A doctor. Did God ever tell you you have that? No, he didn't. Some other man, many times, who make mistakes, they've diagnosed many people as having cancer that didn't have no cancer. They've opened up many people for surgery to find out there was nothing there. They tell you something, you believe it, it's a negative report, and then you believe it and accept it to the place where you, with your anointed Christian self, you, with your power to decree, now open your mouth and you pronounce it. And every demon in the neighborhood will say, amen. Why? Because she said it. He said it. And immediately, every spirit of infirmity has the right to make what you said manifest. You've called it, and they will make sure they come into agreement with you. Just like angels come into agreement with you when you make a positive confession. See, when you pray, angels are saying amen, so be it. And they're ready to get into action to help you make it happen. When you speak those ugly things over your own life, demons are also ready to say amen. And they're ready also to get into action because now you've given them full permission to bring about its manifestation. The devil knows the scriptures. Satan knows the word. Satan knows that Christians are kings. Satan knows that the Bible said you would decree a thing and it shall be established. So Satan is in a position to say, demons, did you hear the decree she just made? All right, go ahead and do it. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I want to start reading from verse 17. I want to show you something about the nature of God so that you would understand. Because they say, you know, all these faith preachers, they just give people false hope and they make them lie. They make all these people say that things are fine when things are not. We just sang a song. Let the weak say I am strong. I'm wondering, did this guy get into my bedroom? How did he know what the message was? And let the poor say I am rich. In other words, when your body is weak and you feel symptoms and you open up your mouth and say, I am strong. Or when your banking account don't look good and you say, I am rich. Are you lying? Are you in self-deception? Because you got to understand this thing so that you don't become double-minded. You don't know what to say. Let's look at the kind of God that we serve. In the book of Romans, there's a little portion here that talks about Abraham and Abraham's faith. And Abraham's faith is commended. His faith is being described here and is commended. And I start reading from verse 17. He says, as it is written, I have made you father of many nations. How many people know that's Abraham? In the presence of him who he believed. Who is the him? Now this verse is about to describe the him, the capital H, the him. It says, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Can you see that description of God? In the King James, it said, God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth things that be not as though they were. That is the nature of God. He can cause dead things to come alive. And he calls things that have not yet existed as if they are already in existence. That's the nature of God. So, was God asking them to lie? Oh, no. When God told them to say, let the weak say I am strong, what he was saying is, you cooperate with me, let your words agree with what I want to do in your life, and you will see in no time it will manifest in your life. But if you feel weak and you keep saying I'm weak, I can't help you. What I want to do is make you strong. But your words is not in agreement with me. Your words is butting heads with my word. I don't have any scripture in my word. I don't have anything that I've released that says, let the weak stay weak. My words don't say, let the weak confess their weakness. My word says, let the weak say, I am strong. So while you're weak and you open your mouth and say, I receive strength in Jesus' name, I am strong. God said, yeah, that's it. That's all I needed. We have agreement. Angels, come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's get things moving. Calling things that be not as though they were is part of the nature of God. And as a child of God, you must also learn to call things into manifestation as though they already exist. You are not lying or in self-deception when you proclaim health while your body is still experiencing symptoms. By utilizing this kingdom concept of faith confession of the preferred outcome, you are prophesying into your own future. Let me just read some of the verses that talks about what Abraham went through. Verse 18. Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, saw that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so that your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Abraham did not consider the deadness of his body, being almost 100 years old, or Sarah's womb, a 90-year-old woman, naturally her womb should be, she's way past menopause. Way past menopause. That's a tough one. How do you believe God and continue to call yourself Abraham, father of many nations, when your wife ain't had no baby? What does it mean to prophesy? Because I said by utilizing this kingdom concept of faith confession of the preferred outcome, you are prophesying into your future. What does it mean to prophesy? To really understand that word prophesy, you need to understand the office of a prophet. Because people think prophesy just means, oh, thus says the Lord, blah, 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 you have a car. And that's not prophesy necessarily. Many sermons that you listen to are prophetic sermons. What does prophesy mean? What does it mean to be a prophet? Because sometimes people will say, oh, I'm a prophet. I'm like, okay, yeah, I believe you. A prophet has the ability to do two things. Number one, they are seers. S-E-E-R. A prophet is a seer. When you call them seer, what you mean is that they can see into the realm of the spirit. They can see into the realm of the spirit to see what God is doing in advance. Elijah was a prophet because he could stand in front of Ahab and say there will be no rain. Why? Because he could see in advance that 3.5 years of no rain is coming. The second aspect of the ministry of a prophet is that they are speakers. They see and they speak. And they speak without the fear of man. They speak what they see as they see it. A true prophet is able to see farther and clearer than the average Christian. And a true prophet has the grace to utter the words of God with power. They are seers and they are speakers. So in order for you to prophesy into your future, you need to be able to see into your future God's preferred outcomes in your life and be able to speak it. So to the person who is weak, if you can see yourself strong again another day other than that day that you're weak, if you can see yourself strong and you believe that God's preferred outcome for my physical body is that I am strong, then what you see, you can speak with confidence. And that's why the weak can say, I am strong. Because the weak is not talking about where they're at as of that day. They're talking about where they're at as of what they see in the future. So though they say I'm weak today, but I see into my future and I am strong in my future. Though they say I'm sick today, I see myself healed in my future. So I can declare that I'm healed. Now I can give you the real word that the Lord has given me. All of that was foundation. Somebody say foundation. Let me give you the word. It's seven keys to becoming the prophet of your life. Seven keys to becoming the prophet of your life. Number one, understand the will of God concerning you today and his preferred future for you. Understand the will of God concerning you as of today and his preferred future for you. Understand the will of God for you today and his preferred future. You know, Daniel declared somewhere, he said, those who know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. He said, those who know their God, they will be strong. In other words, it's not that they will not have attacks. It's not that adverse situations will not come their way, but they remain strong. Why do they remain strong? Because they know their God. What does it mean to know your God? You know his will concerning you today and the future he has planned for you. So I am not moved by what I see. I don't give up because of the attack today. I know his will for me. Look at Jeremiah 29:11. Please write it down because you might not have enough time to open to it. But if you can, open to it and underline it if you've never underlined it before. In Jeremiah 29:11, the Bible reads like this. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Verse 12, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3 says, call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things that you have not known. Now, what is God saying here? God is saying, if you get intimate with me and you spend time with me, I can show you stuff that you don't know about today, and I can show you stuff about your tomorrow. Remember 1 Corinthians 2:9, for eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it reached the heart of man what God has in store for his children. Many people stop there and say, oh, the ways of God are unsearchable. You know, eyes cannot see, ears. No, 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 he didn't stop there. He said, but he has revealed it by his spirit. So those who are spiritual Christians, who are not babies who just come to church on Sunday, open the Bible for 3-4 minutes, and then go home, put the Bible under the mantelpiece. Those who are spiritual, who talk to God every day, who open his word every day, God says, I can bring you to a level of classified information. I can help you understand what's going on in your life today, and I can show you a glimpse of your future. I can show you a glimpse of the things that are to come. Some others will stop at eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it reached the heart of man. But you don't need to stop there. You can find out what I have in store. Let me tell you, most people that you see that are devoted to God in ministry, and no matter what they see, they're not moved, is because God has shown them some stuff about the future. I see some things that he has in store for me. So I'm not moved by negative things that I see today. Because I know I'm going somewhere. I know he has a great plan for me. I've seen glimpses of the future. It's not just what I see right now. So I'm not moved by this season. I'm not disappointed by this season. I'm not too worried anymore. I'm not concerned about who came and who didn't. But whoever shows up, my assignment is bless the socks off them. Just preach your heart out and bless them as much as possible while you're waiting for the next season. Number two, find the scripture to support his will concerning you in the specific area where you need change. Write down Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. Genesis 15, 1 to 6. In Genesis 15, 1 to 6, I'm just going to paraphrase now because of time. God, who had asked Abraham to come out of his family and taken him to a place, a new place, showed up in Abraham's life again and said, "Hey, Abraham, I've made you father of many nations." And Abraham protested. Abraham said, "Seeing that I go childless, and Eliezer, my servant, will be my heir." Abraham was protesting to God. "What are you talking about? Look at how old I am. You haven't given me a son yet. And you're telling me all this stuff about being father of many nations." And God responded. The Bible said the word of the Lord came to Abraham. The word of the Lord, verse 3. Genesis 15, verse 3. The word of the Lord came to Abraham saying, "For this shall not be your heir, but one that will come out of your womb or your loins." And so God's word to Abraham was, don't be moved by what you see. I told you I'm going to make you a daddy. You will be a daddy. I'm going to make you a father. You will be a father. So when the Bible was telling us in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham believed hope against hope, and that statement about believing that he who promised is able, all Abraham was standing on was the word that God has spoken. Whenever I'm in conversation with a person and they're believing God for something to change, I would ask them, what word are you standing on? "Oh, Pastor, I just believe God is going to intervene in this situation in my family. Oh, God is going to intervene." What are you standing on? What scripture have you anchored your faith to? Remember that the word of God is what's unmovable, unshakable. It's standing strong. If you can find the right scripture and hook your faith to it and say, "Man, I'm not leaving the stuff. God, you said. And because you said, that's it. I'm holding on until I see what you said." So that's what I mean when I say key number two in becoming the prophet of your own life is identifying the scriptures that lines up with the change you want. You're broke, you can't pay your bills. "For my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory." Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Write it on a piece of paper. Psalms 37, verse 25. "God delights in the prosperity of his children." Put it on a piece of paper. 3 John 2, "I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Put it on paper. Deuteronomy 8, 18, "For thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to make wealth." Put it on paper. Psalm 112, verses 1 to 3, the Bible says, "To that one who fears the Lord," in verse 3, it says, "wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever." Put it on paper. Type that thing out in bold fonts. Put one by your mirror. Put one on the wall in your bedroom. See it every time. "Lord, I'm standing on your word. I am righteous. I fear you. I love you. This situation needs to change." Staple it to the wall somewhere. Put your checkbook. Put it next to it. Checkbook, talk to the word. Word, talk to checkbook. But I'm anchoring my faith. Something has got to shift. I already know the word of God will not pass away. So checkbook, you are the one that is going to shift. The Bible says heaven and earth may pass away, but his word will still remain. The Bible said, "Having done all to do," Ephesians chapter 6, "stand and stand therefore." What are you standing on? You're standing on his word. Number 3, do not consider the natural or physical circumstances. If you're going to be a prophet of your own life, you cannot consider the natural or physical circumstances. In Genesis chapter 29 or 27, the Bible said, while Joseph was being taken into Egypt by the slave buyers who had bought him, the Ishmaelites, they were taking him into Egypt. They were about to go sell him to Potiphar. And the Bible used the phrase to refer to Joseph. It said, and Joseph was a prosperous man. And that got me for a long time. How can a guy who is a slave, he's just about to be sold to another slave master, how can the Bible refer to him as a prosperous man? There's nothing prosperous about being a slave. A slave don't even own the clothes they're wearing. But the Bible referred to him as a prosperous man. Until God helped me to understand what the blessing is. That blessing is not car, it's not house, it's not clothes. Blessing is something you develop on the inside of you. And you might be a slave today, but when the blessing is there, sooner than later, the circumstances around you has to change and line up. So they put him in a house. He became the top servant. They put him in a jail. He became the one in charge of jail until he rose and became the number two man in Egypt. Why? Because the blessing was in him. Do not consider natural circumstances if you're going to be the prophet of your own life. Why? If you consider natural circumstances, guess what? You're going to keep saying rubbish. Because you'll be saying what you see. You'll be saying what you see with these two eyes rather than seeing something else with the eye of your spirit and saying what your spirit eyes can see. That's why the Bible said Abraham did not consider the deadness of his body. I don't want to be graphic. But some man who is 90, 100 years old, you know what deadness means? It means naturally he shouldn't be able to do nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, there was no embryo, infertilization, or all this kind of, none of those things existed then. If anything was going to happen, Abraham was going to have some action. And he's now 90, 100. So when the Bible said he did not consider the deadness of his body, amen, the guy didn't look at no wrinkle. He didn't look at no natural circumstances. He was still saying, hey, baby Sarah, you got to come into the tent tonight. He didn't consider the natural circumstances. I know the ladies here can't understand it, but the men can at least understand it. There's some things that hurt the ego of a man. There's some things that you would not try. You can't afford it. There are much, much younger men who have to prepare with Vialis and Viagra and all those kind of stuff because they can't afford to have that shame. The Bible said Abraham did not consider the deadness of his body. You got to understand what faith is here. It means he overlooked all the natural circumstances and continued acting as if he was a young man. Number four. Be fully convinced that he who has promised is able to perform. If you're going to be a prophet of your life, be convinced that God that has made a promise is able to perform. I know that I'm a wealthy man. And I know I'm going to be wealthy for the rest of my days. I just know it. I just know it. First name that my father gave me in the Nigerian language, Olubenga, means God lift me up. My last name means don't abuse wealth. You can't have a name like that if you're not going to have wealth. Don't be deceived by what you see. Don't be deceived by the vehicle I drive. I think, how come he's calling himself wealthy? Because you don't understand, my wealth starts from within. My wealth starts from knowing who I am, knowing whose I am, and knowing his promises concerning me, and having confidence that no matter what my pocketbook looks like today, sooner than later, every natural circumstance must line up with my full royal status. I am royalty. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody look at somebody around you, say your excellency. Greet somebody close to you, say your highness. I'm serious. Tell the person next to you, say your highness. You see, all you see today is not all there is to see. I'll repeat it again. Some people miss that. All you see today is not all there is to see. Don't let people put you down because of where you are at today. Don't let them put you down because they think you ain't got no money right now. Or because they think, oh, well, you don't have it together. All they see, tell them, you just hang on. You just hang on. You watch me change. You watch the word catch up with me. You watch me catch up with the word. I know the word of God concerning me now seem to be like up there, and I seem to be down here, but you just watch me as I'm struggling to make sure I catch up with the word until I get to the place where me and the word were one. Everything you read in the Bible about a child of God, you will find it in me. So I said, number four, be fully convinced that he who has promised is able to perform. Ephesians 3:20, just write it down. It says, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. He can perform. He's able. He's able. Number five, do not waver through unbelief. Do not waver through unbelief. James chapter 1, 6 to 8, it makes it very clear. He said, let the one who doubts not believe they will receive anything from the Lord. For a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. So what is James saying here? If you're going to believe God, believe God. If you're not going to believe God, don't believe God. It's either you believe you're going to be healthy or you don't believe it. Don't use your mouth one day to describe, oh, I'm so sick, and then, oh, Pastor, I believe I'm going to be well. No. Make up your mind what you're going to say. And say one. Don't say, hey, I'm blessed and highly favored, and then tomorrow I'm a poor man. No. Make up your mind. Because if you're double, the Bible says you'll receive nothing. Because angels can't make up their mind what they need to do. Because one day, we're on our way bringing prosperity to you, and then we hear you say, oh, you know, everybody, I just want you to know I'm a really poor woman. And the angels have to go back. Well, we're sorry. What he just said, that don't line up. Or what she just said don't line up. So you've got to understand. God wants your yea to be your yea and your nay to be your nay. You've got to believe him to the extent where you are not double-minded. Guard your ears and your heart from unbelievers. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Many Christians have been damaged by ignorant preachers who stood on the pulpit and told them certain things, and they've been saying it. I've seen preachers that say, we're nothing but just worthless, whatever saved by grace. They say things like, you know, oh, wretched person that I am. It all sounds very nice and humble, doesn't it? Sounds very noble and Christianly. According to the word of God, that's trash speaking. God said he has adopted you as sons and daughters in the royal family. Stop describing yourself before the cross. Stop, well, you know, some preachers will do it. They say, you know, we're all sinners. Oh, no, not me. No, not me. I have been redeemed. The sinner Daniel is dead. I'm a new creature. All things have passed away. Paul persecuted Christians. Paul saw to it that Christians were killed. The day they were stoning Stephen to death, Paul was holding their coats for them. And one day Paul said, I've done no man any harm. Was Paul lying? Oh no, Paul is saying all that stuff was Saul. Saul died on the road to Damascus. Paul came alive after the lightning shine. So I'm not going to, because that thing is still affecting a lot of Christians. I see females who are still held back because they committed abortion 20 years ago. That's gone. That's dead. That's not part of your history anymore. God don't look at you and put that into your record anymore. He said it. He said, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. New creature. New creature. New creature. New means new. New does not mean he was patched up or she was patched up. New does not mean we just fabricated some things around the present. It means new. It means all that old junk about you is gone. God don't want you going back there. He wants you to just come. If you give your life today, you are going to be born again. Today, you will be anew today. If you rededicate your life today, it's a new you today. Number six, maintain your confession. Let your yea be your yea and let your nay be your nay. Remember that Abraham, for over a decade, was calling himself Abraham, father of many nations, and he didn't have Isaac nor Ishmael. That's a tough one. Everybody's going to call your name in the neighborhood. They know you don't have a kid. And you go around the neighborhood and say, from now on, you call me Abraham. What? Father of many nations? You don't even have one kid. Do you know what kind of, do you know what he would have gone through in the society, in his community, in his neighborhood? The ridicule? And he stood his ground. He stood his ground. Nevertheless, he said, you better call me Abraham or don't call me anything at all. And that went on for years and years and years. A man calling himself father of many children who didn't have one child. Maintain your confession. Don't say, I am healed, I am healed. And as soon as you feel a sharp pain, get on the phone and say, man, I'm a mess. I'm so sick. I'm in a bad condition. I'm a mess. No. Pray to God, but watch your confession. I know you feel that pain. I know you feel the symptom. The only thing you just don't have to do is you don't have to decree it. You know some of the things we do? If I'm feeling weak, I say, man, I'm a little bit strong today. I learned it years ago from Christians. When you hear Christians say, I was feeling a bit strong yesterday, that's why I couldn't come to church. Now, what's that person saying? Saying, my body was feeling symptoms. But that person still ensured that they didn't say I was weak. Yeah. Or I am weak. Very quickly, number 7, give glory to God and learn to praise him in advance. If you're going to be a prophet of your own life, you have to learn how to praise prophetically. You know what prophetic praise is? Seeing the future and thanking God for the future, even while you're still in the now. It doesn't take much after you've had a major miracle to come to church and dance. Oh, God is good. I've traded my sorrow. Da, 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 da. You know, it doesn't take much to do that. But right in the middle of hell and high waters, right in the middle of the devil fighting your children, fighting your health, fighting your finances, can you still come to church and dance? Can you still say, you know, that stuff makes the devil and all the demons mad. Because they've thrown their best shot at you and they're just mad that you still come to church and you're dancing. And they're like, what? Don't she even know nothing? We've been attacking her son with sickness and she's still dancing. What's wrong with him? We just made him lose his job and he's still praising. What on earth is wrong with this PICC folks? No matter what they're going through, they are still dancing. They are still praising. Guess what we are doing? We are prophesying into our future. We're telling ourselves, I know it's going to be all right, so I can dance in advance. I can sing in advance. Oh, my God, you are awesome. My God, you are beautiful. Why? Because I know everything is going to work out for my good. Everything is going to be all right. I remind you, John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. You know what that means? Jesus is saying, these words, they are alive. They are like people in the spirit realm getting things done. Said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. They can go through walls. They can go through human bodies. They can fix all kinds of things. They can make all kinds of miracles happen on your behalf. They can make people deposit money in your account and not even know who did. It's happened to me more than once. Messed up. I was so broke in London. I was in such a messed up state. I went to a conference. And right there in the conference, the Lord told me to write a check. And I knew I didn't have that money. Now, please don't do this if God didn't tell you to do it. Please don't. Don't write checks by faith, for it shall bounce. But on this occasion, I did. And as soon as I came out of that meeting, the first place I went to, it was Benny Hinn that came to London. And it was at the Royal Albert Theatre or something like that. And I knew God was telling me to write that check. And I was convinced I didn't have that money in the account. When I left that meeting, the first thing I did was go to Victoria Station to go to my bank. And I got to my bank and got a big shocker. There was money that was deposited there overnight. Who did it? I don't know. I almost got into an argument with the ladies behind the register, like, you know, can you tell me where it came from? They said, well, it's some sort of wire transfer. All right, can you trace where it's from? They said, well, we really can't trace it. And then at some point, I thought, dumb, just walk away. You're going to fight them to take it out? You know, it's like, are you going to fight them to take it out of it? Just leave it there, get out of the bank, and dance in the street and say, Lord, thank you. Because I'm telling you, in the natural, some things look bleak. They look bad. But don't speak what you see. Somebody said there are a number of different channels you can tune to. You can be on what is called the WIN channel. Or you could be on WCB channel. What is now versus what could be? Make up your mind that you're going to be a seer that spends quality time with God to see your future, so that what you see today will not matter to you as much as what he has shown you about your future. Then open your mouth and prophesy it. Speak it. Call it into being. Everything Jesus did, before he did it, he spoke it first. Everything that Jesus did, I'm going to go to the cross, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to resurrect, he prophesied everything about his life. The Son of Man, you see me now, don't worry, I'll be gone. You're going to see me when I leave. I'm going to be seated at the right hand of the Father. He prophesied everything about his life. He said it all. He said it all. And he saw it all. Let's rise up together. Anybody get something out of this? You got something out of this? Praise the name of Jesus. I know that our time is fast spent, but I can't preach a word like this and not give you at least 60 seconds to 120 seconds to prophesy over your life. Whatever the Holy Spirit brings to your heart as an area of challenge or struggle in your life, in your family, or in the life of your loved ones, I give you permission for the next 120 seconds, begin to speak God's preferred outcome over that situation. Remember, don't speak your words. Speak scriptures over that situation. Please.
I hope you were blessed by the sermon you have just listened to. To obtain a CD or DVD of other messages preached by Pastor Daniel, call us at 541-776-8532. God bless you.